Good morning and welcome to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Melinda Lygos, editor-in-chief of ASI's magazines, and the show we have today is so action-packed, guys, that I'm going to rush through our normal introductions. Let's call this speed intros. We've got Andy Cohn, the lovely editor of Counselor. What's
Hi.
Up, Andy?
Lovely.
Lovely.
He's lovely. Kathy Houston, our most cheerful editor.
Hello.
You said that I light up your life.
You do.
That's really nice. Thanks. Michelle Bell's reporting from the field and is going to check in with us a bit. And finally, we've got Joe Haley, our grumpy but not frumpy managing editor. Joe, tell us what's on tap for today.
Okay. Andy takes a look at industries with double-digit growth last year. We're going to take your artwork call, so call us at 215-953-4979, and we'll dish you some good advice. Hey, smaller convention markets are upping their marketing efforts to attract more business. The U.S. House wants to ban all made-in-China products from its gift shop. Kathy has a report on that. Our ambassador of promotional products is calling in from the Great White North with a little show
report. Michelle, she's our ambassador?
She is our ambassador of promo products.
All right.
Melinda's going to give you a preview of next week's ASI Dallas show. Andy has a look at customers who are looking for deep discounts. What are the biggest workplace embarrassments? We want to know yours, and we're going to let you know what ours are. Should women embrace feminism through fashion at work? Kathy's got a little know-how on that. What's stuck in my crawl today? Stay tuned and find out. And what the heck is giftcardrescue.com? We have the scoop. And perhaps the real estate market is buying fewer ad specialties because they have an awesome closer on their side. Who? Well, we'll let you know. All this in the industry
Donald
news.
Trump.
No. Andy.
Wow. I just want to know what's stuck in your craw. Counselor top 40 distributor Innerworkings announced yesterday that it is laying off approximately 15% of its non-sales workforce. While the company says it actually grew by more than 40% last year, it is making the job cuts in preparation of a soft 2009. Eric Belcher, Innerworkings CEO, told Counselor yesterday, quote, "The decision to reduce our workforce was difficult but necessary as we continue to take proactive steps to realign our cost structure and effectively manage through this economic downturn." A new survey of a group of 52 economists reveals the expectation for the U.S. economy to turn around in the second half of 2009. While the group predicts that unemployment will peak at 8.8% in early 2010, they also expect the U.S. gross domestic product to increase by 1% in the third quarter of 2009 and by more than 2% in the fourth quarter. And we're reporting on an industry acquisition and promogram later today. Hooper Concepts, a distributor based in Dayton, Ohio, has acquired Logos at Work, which is also based in Dayton. The combined companies will have about 25 employees, and the organization expects to double its workforce in the next 2 years. Plus, later on today in promogram, we'll have a brand new episode of The Joe Show. Joe, I understand you're cleaning out your 2009 new products closet. Isn't that right?
I think I have the remainder of everything that was new for the year that
you
I actually
have. Do you
still
have that grill in there? From 2 years ago?
That grill is still sitting on the shelves.
Okay, good.
Can we cook on it?
You know, you have to clean it.
Rich seemed to have a really strong reaction to that economic report.
Yeah, I just...
Do you disagree?
8.8% unemployment, that's pretty bad.
So you think it's going to get that bad and all of a sudden turn around in the second half, apparently?
But it's already at 7.2.
Yes, I know, but every 1 point is another million people out of work. It's a lot of people.
It is.
You know, just this week, big companies announced more than 60,000 layoffs.
I know, I read that in the... paper.
Was it Sprint?
Yeah.
Sprint was a big one, I
Sprint,
think.
Sprint, 8,000.
Microsoft, Caterpillar, Pfizer, Home Depot.
All right, guys. Well, I'm sick of hearing bad economic news. And so he may be Captain Killjoy, but Andy's got some economic bright spots for us this morning. Andy, what have you got?
Well, a report just came out from a company called SageWorks, and they're an analytics and research company that looks at financial data from private companies. So public companies get most of the news, but this is a report on private companies. And they released this report of companies of markets that had double-digit growth in the past 12 months. So I'm going to run through a few of them. We also have the list on our website at asicentral.com/radio. The biggest growth industry was raw material wholesalers of farm products.
Really?
Yeah.
So the farmers are obviously doing well out there.
And how big a growth did they have?
21.7% over the last 12
months. You know, I'm from Nebraska. Maybe I should go back to my
farming roots. You can go to your roots and like distributors in Nebraska. You could call on farm companies.
I could.
There you go. A few others that caught my eye. Petroleum and petroleum products wholesalers. Mm-hmm. So those have done well. Waste management companies. Home healthcare services. We've talked a lot about the healthcare market being one that's strong. Home healthcare services grew by almost 15% in the last 12 months. A couple others, software publishers, did well, 14% in the last growth in the last 12 months. And one other interesting one that had more than 13% growth was direct selling establishments. So you know, Tupperware companies, things like that.
Oh,
that
right. Mary Kay?
Yeah, Mary Kay.
Pampered Chef.
Tastefully nice. Simple.
Tastefully Simple. What is yeah.
Southern
that?
Living?
Yeah, they sell still
potted jewelry.
You guys are scaring me.
It's because we get invited to
yeah,
all
we
these
get invited
parties
to all these things,
in the
and
neighborhood.
We don't go.
Yeah, Kathy never goes.
Oh, I never go. I don't. Yeah.
I wouldn't go to one of those. You wouldn't find me dead at one of those, in fact.
Well, that's probably the only way they would find you there.
Well, thanks, Andy. As always, we'll take your calls on any topic at 215-953-4979. But this morning, we're especially interested in hearing about any artwork challenges or questions you may have. And if we put you on the air, you'll score a $25 Visa card. The number again is 415-953-4979. So start dialing now. We're going to pause for a message from our show sponsor, I Promote You. When we return, we'll start taking your calls.
This portion of ASI Radio is sponsored by I Promote You. Distributors and salespeople, consider affiliating with I Promote You today. Be more productive, be more profitable, be happier, and retain your independence. I Promote You, the smart choice. For more information, call 800-850-3370 or email opportunities@ipromoteyou.com.
Welcome back to ASI's Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. We're taking your calls right now at 215-953-4979 to provide any advice on artwork dilemmas you may have. And the phones are ringing off the hook. Apparently, people have a lot of artwork dilemmas. Let's start with Paul from PS Promotions. Paul's online, too. How are you doing this morning, Paul?
Good. How are you?
Fine, thanks. Tell us your artwork dilemma.
Well, my problem is my screen printer seems to have a problem with those high-tech moisture-wicking shirts. The imprints never seem to come out right. Any ideas of what that problem might be?
First thing you need to do, Paul, is contact your suppliers and make sure that they understand what they're doing. They are high-tech shirts, so they have to have the right oven setting on them, and they need to use the right type of ink, because once the shirt is imprinted, it needs to cure through the oven. So call them and ask them for a sample to make sure that they're actually capable of doing this. And the ones who know how to do it right are going to give you a good sample. Those who don't are going to be, you know, messing around with oven temperature.
So it's all about the oven temperature.
It's all about the oven temperature. I know a screen printer who actually fed me that information once. So he said if we ever have it for our soccer club, need imprinting, he can do it for us.
Okay, great.
Awesome.
All
thanks,
right.
Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
Well,
stay on the line.
Okay.
Have a good day.
You too. Bye.
We have Kimberly DeBorn from Easy Threads on line 6. Hi, Kimberly.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Are you having some artwork dilemmas?
I am. My client submits decent artwork but doesn't understand that it often needs to be digitized for embroidery purposes. How can I get them to understand this?
I think it's pretty simple. If they submitted something on a napkin, just a drawing, they would understand that a designer needs to create this. So it's just, you know, the process that stitch counts need to be added and created to make a logo be stitched onto a piece of
You know, perhaps you should give them a subscription to Stitches magazine. That they, you know, that's one of ASI's
that's actually a good idea.
Magazines for embroiderers, and they really spell out in detail, you know, what works on different types of fabrics and why you need to use one art process over another.
Great, thank you.
Thanks for calling, Kimberly. Go ahead and stay on the line.
Okay.
And we have Jackie on line 1 from Starlight Specialties. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, how are you doing?
I'm good.
But apparently you have an artwork problem.
Right. Well, I operate a one-person shop, so obviously I don't have an art department.
Uh-huh.
So what I wondered is, where can I find artwork services that I can outsource jobs to?
Well, there's a number of options for you here in the industry. We got a company, Digital Artwork Solutions, that can do that sourcing for you. ASI has some affiliates, too, that also handle some artworks. But also check with your local colleges, universities, any type of art schools in the area there. You can also get college students to come in and help you with some of those designs.
You know, that's actually a great suggestion. I was just talking to a distributor last week who really doesn't have the budget to pay for kind of a full-time experience graphic designer, and she put up an internship notice at her local college, got a really, really great person who's about to graduate, you know, paying $12 an hour on a part-time basis. And, you know, as her business grows, she'll hopefully be able to hire this person full-time, but it's a great way to kind of test out some new possible talent.
Oh, absolutely, too, and it's a win-win, and I hate that term, but it is a win-win for everyone.
But
you
win-win.
Just
win-win.
But
oh,
I use
please.
Yes, but it is. I mean, the college student's going to be able to build a portfolio when they're ready to look for a job if they
absolutely.
Go
in fact, we've had great success with interns here at ASI.
Oh, yeah.
I think Joe was an intern at one point.
Joe
yes,
was an intern.
I was.
Were
yes,
you
I...
like the oldest intern?
The world's
long,
oldest intern.
Long,
yeah, he was like, how old were you?
29.
29.
The world's oldest intern.
And you had a pregnant wife at the time, I hear.
Yes, pregnant wife.
How and about... Steve's raising his hand. Were you an intern?
Yeah, I was an intern.
Wow.
Were you really?
16 years old.
16th. That's impressive.
How about let's give a shout out to our new intern, Jill Malcolm.
Yes, yay. She's starting shout today out. And listening yep. to the show.
Hi, Jill.
So there you go. Good Hi, luck, Jill. All right, I think we have another caller on line 3, James from Rewards and More. Good morning, James.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, good. How are you?
Good.
So what's your artwork dilemma?
Well, I have a good client, a loyal client, but it's more like an old-school mom-and-pop type shop. Mm-hmm. And so when they send me artwork, it's usually not up to snuff, and it takes a lot of work for my art people to make it to make it work. So, I mean, should I consider charging these guys more, or what do you think I should do?
Oh, absolutely. You should definitely charge for any of your services that you're giving out there. And if there really are good business people, they'll understand that, you know, you have someone on staff putting time and effort in for something that's going to make their promotional products look a lot better. So just explain that. You can break it down by an hourly or a flat fee, whatever works best for you and that client.
Okay, great.
Great. Good luck, James. Thanks for calling today.
Thank you, James.
I think overall distributors just don't charge for their services nearly as much as they probably should. You know, they put in a lot of time for artwork and packaging and delivery. And logistics
yeah.
and all these things that they end up just not even really charging for.
Yeah, that seems to be an ongoing problem.
Yeah. Well, especially
I mean, you've
now.
Done a lot of articles on advantages on the different things people can charge for.
Right,
what are some
right.
things that distributors
well,
might not?
Your consulting time, the mm-hmm. the art, like you were saying, all kinds of different
things. Yeah, they're even just ideas. I mean, it's distributors don't approach their business, you know, in a sort of ad agency way and try to get paid for their ideas. But, you know, these end up being marketing campaigns
yeah,
for
they
your
should,
clients.
Because sometimes yeah. what the client does, too, is shop that idea out to
yeah.
somebody
yeah.
else.
Or they steal the ideas right, and have right. no intention of using it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, I mean, if you were to charge a fee, is it an hourly fee for,
yeah,
for coming
an hourly
up with,
fee, I would say.
For creative services? Yeah, I think that's a thing that more people should look at, especially mm-hmm. distributors who really are approaching them. Are positioning themselves as marketing
right.
consultants.
And there's been a lot of discussion about that, especially lately. I think distributors are seeing themselves more as consultants.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Okay, absolutely. Well, we all like to have our company meetings in the Bahamas. I certainly would, especially this time of year. But that is not always possible, is it, Joe?
No, it's not, especially with companies and firms that are cutting their budgets. So a lot of smaller markets, Philadelphia, Wisconsin, some of these places that have convention centers but aren't as big as your New Yorks and your Las Vegases and stuff, they're upping their marketing efforts to attract more companies to have their conventions, their meetings in the area. And someone said that corporate planners say that Philadelphia exudes affordability and seriousness. Seriousness, yes, absolutely.
It's the birthplace of the nation.
Absolutely. The city of brotherly
Rich
love.
Is looking very confused over there.
Well, it's got
agree?
A very good murder rate going on, too.
That's serious.
Well, that is serious.
Very serious. I think it's Philadelphia.
Oh, well then. Great.
Well,
Speaking of Captain
it's not
Killjoy.
As big as New York, but it has all the amenities and the luxuries and such. And it's probably a little more affordable than some of those big cities. So that's an area, a market that distributors out there could, you know,
yeah,
should look into.
That's an opportunity there. I mean, many distributors
Absolutely.
Are in
there
smaller
There are a
towns.
Lot of second tier mm-hmm. yeah. What call second tier city? Second tier, I would say Philadelphia is not a second tier, but even like Biloxi, Mississippi, mm-hmm. they have, you know, they built a huge convention center there and with gaming, casino gaming and everything. And I know that they're working really hard to target big meeting groups. That
yeah.
I mean,
yeah, I mean, this is a place where they're upping their marketing budgets, whereas many other clients might be cutting theirs.
Yes.
You know, so. Baltimore, Dallas, you know, and then there's smaller areas like in the Pennsylvania area here. You got the Pocono Mountains. I mean, a lot of those places have convention
with
sites.
With the champagne
the
tubs.
Pocono Mountains.
Yeah, they're not huge.
I don't think
huge,
they have
but...
as many champagne tubs.
Oh,
no.
My.
That's from the 70s.
Champagne hot tubs.
Right.
I actually saw an ad. I think there still is one place.
Yeah.
I actually stayed. They're called Caesars Resorts in the Poconos, and I stayed in one of those. We had the heart-shaped swimming pool. We had a sauna. Yeah, we had a... We won it. Pauline won the weekend. It was all everything was paid.
And did you? But you didn't have a champagne hot tub in your room.
Absolutely, we did. It was on
a
the second
glass?
Floor. Yeah.
So what do you have to climb up a ladder to get in it?
No, it's on the second floor. You go up the stairs.
Completely
you
see-through
come out
from
the store.
First floor.
It's completely see-through from. We no. weren't sharing the place with anyone, Andy.
No. Yeah, but what if one of you is sitting up in the champagne glass and the other goes downstairs to get a drink? You like? I don't
well,
know.
Hello.
Hello there. I don't know how romantic that is, but you know. I guess to each his own.
Well, I'm not sure that that's winning an award. That's like a punishment almost.
And that's where I bet DeCab.
Anyway, it seems like great targets for distributors. Along with the Caribbean that we talked about last week, Caribbean is seriously upping its marketing budget. That's here's an interesting tidbit. One governmental organization is banning all gifts from China. Kathy, tell us more.
That's right. More than $100,000 souvenirs made in China are being banned from the Capital Visitor Center because Representative Robert A. Brady, who is the new House Administration Committee Chair, has forbidden it. He says that the idea that the Capitol's main gift shop could be selling a model of our Statue of Freedom that is manufactured in China does a disservice to all the American workers who are losing their jobs.
Again, Rich is wrinkling his forehead.
What do you think about that?
I can't even comment on it.
I think we have a contender for Captain Killjoy. Yeah. Hi, Captain Killjoy.
Every story.
He's just frowning and shaking his head.
That's a pretty harsh step, though. To ban all the
items. I can kind of see his reasoning.
Is it because they just want all made in America products?
They want all made in...
Right.
Well, they don't want the USA Statue of Freedom, which I don't even know what that is. I have no idea.
I guess I think when that congressman actually only buys nothing from Walmart, which everything is made from China, and doesn't buy any clothes that are not made in America.
Well, perhaps he does.
But I have a feeling.
Maybe he...
And drives only American cars and American everything.
But I think his point is that these plastic statues of, you know, an American icon, allegedly, you know, being put forth in an American institution should be made in America.
What about that foam Statue of Liberty hat that they sell
I'm sure in New York? That's not made
in America. Is that made in America, do you
think? I don't think so.
I think we should petition for that to be made in America.
All right, let's do it. Let's write our congressman.
Well, speaking of foreign countries, Michelle Bell is in one right now. Michelle, where are you?
Hey, guys.
Where are you and why are you there?
It's a new game. Where's Michelle?
I am in Toronto, sadly not.
Wow, I guess that must be the Toronto National Anthem.
Wow.
Or the Canadian.
Canadian.
The Toronto
Excuse me.
National
I realize Toronto is not a country. Go ahead. What are you doing, Michelle?
I am at the PPPC, their annual trade show here in Toronto, and it's fabulous. You know, the Canadian market is about approximately $2.8 billion a year.
Yep.
But from what I've seen so far, the show is really vibrant. Rich, if you were here with me, you'd appreciate the booths are, I would say, this year in particular, much more set up in a European fashion with lots of tables and chairs for more consultations with distributors. One booth, Spectre & Company, which is a very prominent supplier in Canada.
Oh, they make the elephant poop paper.
Exactly.
Okay,
they're giving out ice cream to people who come in their booths. And every booth that I've been in of suppliers, distributors who are coming in actually are coming in with ideas and campaigns that they already have in the works.
And any hot toddies there, Michelle?
Sadly, no. Just me, Rich. I'm the only hot toddy there.
Michelle, any product trends that you've seen?
You know, I did. Of course, green is still a big trend. But there's two I noticed. One is suppliers are carrying less expensive items in their lines, but the items have high perceived value. So clearly they're trying to target people who are shopping on a budget, but the items don't look cheap. Another thing would be products that have are multifunctional. For example, Starline has drinkware that like travel mugs that also have a clock embedded in them and a mirror under the bottom. So they're kind of doing triple duty.
Yeah, that's good.
Also, which I think is really interesting, today they're having their first ever end user day where distributors can bring their clients to the show. So I'll be curious to see how that works for them. But overall, it's been a great, great show.
And the end users have to be accompanied by a distributor?
They do. They
do. Like chaperoned?
Yeah, chaperoned.
That's kind of a cool idea, though. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
One other thing, they awarded Leeds Canada Supplier of the Year.
Well, very nice.
Very nice.
Fantastic. Yeah, so it's been a great show.
All right. Well, thanks so much for calling in, Michelle. We'll see you back tomorrow.
Yes, you will. Bye, guys.
International Incidents.
Bye.
Well, another big show is coming up next week, and that, of course, is ASI Dallas. We're going to have some cool happenings on Education Day, which is a week from Wednesday. Do you guys want to hear more?
Yes,
sure. Please.
Of course you do.
Let's go.
Once again, we're going to have our brand new distributor track, which we've never had in Dallas before. It's a full day of courses taught by some of our best instructors all day long in Education
Day.
That
was huge in Orlando.
It was so big that... Huge. We barely had room. People were sitting on the floor. We had like 300 people per class.
I tried to get in the room, and they were almost
back
to the wall. Yeah.
But it's great. It includes a free lunch with Cliff Quicksell, and David Blaze is also leading some of the sessions, and Lisa Leach. So it's a great crash course for new distributors. We also have hands-on computer training for our classes this year for Adobe Illustrator and CorelDRAW. In the past, you've had to just kind of watch an instructor, and this time you can actually use our computers even bring your own laptops. So that's cool. And the other thing that is brand new, never done before in an ASI show, is on the first day at the end of the show day, we have a women's networking reception for women only, led by Rosalie Marcus, who is one of our popular speakers.
Joe, we're not going to be allowed
in. Joe's
that.
Not allowed in.
Unless
Andy's
you dress up.
In. Rich can't come. But Kathy, you can come.
Oh, thank you.
Maybe Rich, Joe, and I should have our own little party outside.
Here's an interesting
dudes only.
Here's an interesting tidbit. Dallas has the highest percentage of female attendees of any of our ASI shows. So we
really?
Thought this is a
that's
great
like
place
to watch
this. Factoid
of the day.
It is. So there you have it. Aren't you guys glad you're going to Dallas?
I can't wait.
Can't wait. I'm thrilled.
Well, on another note, and this should not come as a big surprise to some, but buyers in corporate America are seeking bigger discounts. Andy, tell us more.
Well, a survey just came out from NCR Corporation, and they were tracking retail trends, so actually of consumers, which the corporate market often follows the retail market pretty closely. And they found that this survey was done at the end of December and early in January, and they found that 80% of consumers say that they're pursuing sales or discounted merchandise, and 49% say that they're switching between retailers for the best value. So obviously, it's an environment that distributors are going to have to navigate this year as far as, you know, trying to keep their prices up and their margins up in the face of clients that are looking for, you know, the deepest discounts possible. So it's something that they have to keep their eyes on.
So how should distributors respond to a client who suddenly is asking for big price cuts?
Well, I think part of what they need to do is to talk about what we actually just talked about before and the value that they provide as far as the services. You know, you put a package together of the services and the products that you offer, and then it's not just you can't just get the lowest price on imprinted pens or imprinted t-shirts, whatever it is, because there's other services that you might be offering. So I think you have to package your service and the products that you give as more like a one-stop shop.
Yeah, well, and then if you package it like that, say, what do you want me to cut out of here? We can cut the price. No, you know, quality control. We don't have to worry about quality control. We can
go I like to that one negotiation sure, tactic, what? Though. No, it's
well,
right. No.
I agree with both of you, but I would add also that if they're spending $50,000 and they say now they want to spend $30,000, I think you have to come up with something for $30,000 too. Mm-hmm. It may mean that you trade down some items, you know, to a less expensive pen or a less expensive shirt.
Or
but
the quantity.
Well, they may need the quantity. The quantity might be that they still have to do that, but then you might be able to get some other products that you can meet the quantity, but per unit price is less.
I think that, you know, you have to be able to sell, too. You have to be a good salesperson. And, you know, I'm not talking about, you know, a shyster trying to sell, you know, magic elixir, but, you know, be able to sell your products and services.
Magic elixir?
Magic elixir.
Wow, last week it was apothecary. Now we have magic elixir.
Well, at least he said elixir, right.
They may appreciate you working with them on this account, and you might end up getting other accounts that they are working with other vendors that they might bring it to you. So
true.
There's some upside
absolutely.
There, too.
So you don't want to just tell them to go take a hike.
Yeah, I personally don't think it's good to tell the client, like, well, what do you want me to do? Because it kind of puts it back. It's better to come up with something that you can tell them.
Sure.
Like, I can do whatever you like.
They might not even want as much as you would, you know, suggest to them. So, yeah, it's better for them to make
and you may have lower-priced items that you have higher margins on, too, so that you might end up not taking so much out in margin.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Yeah, no one said this was going to be easy.
Well, we've all had some red-faced moments in the workplace, and Joe Haley is here to talk about some embarrassing workplace moments. Joe.
Well, CareerBuilder.com has written an article about this, and they say, you know, a lot of us have kind of stepped into it at the workplace, and what do you do? I mean, it's pretty easy to get by. If you've done something wrong, they say the easiest thing to do is just apologize for it, and then you move on. Or if it's something that is out of your control, something that you had, you know, nothing to do with, kind of just laugh it off and go on with it. Now they're talking about like email mistakes, which we've talked about, foot and mouth disease, which we've talked about as well, and then there's the rookie gaffes. They have a story about a young lawyer who, when he started his first job, they were going to give him 4 weeks vacation, and he said he only wanted to take two, and he's arguing and saying HR was saying, no, it's mandatory, and he says, I can't afford to take a whole month off without pay. I'm getting married next year. And at that point, you know, they had to explain to him, no, you'll actually get paid vacation. So
that doesn't seem that embarrassing.
That's not that embarrassing.
No, I mean, it can be.
That's
I mean, it can
bad.
Be.
I mean, that's cool.
That's pretty bad, though.
I mean,
you don't know you're being paid for vacation.
Well, we don't get paid for vacation. I'm just kidding.
Do you remember the intern Andy that we worked with once? He started like a week previously and asked if he was going to get a Thanksgiving bonus.
He was looking for bonuses like a week after starting.
All right. A Thanksgiving bonus. There was another story about a woman who there was some bad weather out there, so she came in with work boots and didn't have a pair of shoes to change into, so her boss gave her an ugly pair of clogs. And she was just about to rail about these to another co-worker in a break area, and she goes, "Look at these. My boss gave me these." And with that, her boss stuck her head around the corner, and she says, "Isn't that nice of her?" So, you know, she was able to catch those words before they came out of their mouth.
I have a wardrobe malfunction that happened to me. Years ago, I was student teaching at Hoboken High School.
This ought to be good.
It's kind of, you know, it's not like the friendliest high school. And unbeknownst, I tucked my skirt into my underwear. And I walked into school, you know, where it's all high school kids, you know, ready to make comments.
So I did that at ShopRite. A lady behind me, luckily, she tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Your dress is stuck up in your underwear." I said, "Thank you very much."
Now, here's a question. What's worse? Is it worse calling someone by the wrong name? Or is it worse when someone calls you the wrong name and you don't immediately correct them, so the next couple times they see you?
Oh, people call me by the wrong name all the
Melissa.
Time.
Melissa.
There's three people in this building that call me Melissa routinely.
But do you correct
no,
them?
No, I don't care. Whatever.
Okay. Until now.
Yes, maybe
stand corrected.
All right, well, now Kathy is going to ponder the question, should women embrace feminism through fashion at work? Kath, what's the deal with that?
Well, the deal is that recently, the Daily Mail of London reported that image consultants hired by a British law firm, Freshfields, Bruckhouse, and Derringer, had allegedly advised women that instead of trousers, they should wear skirts and heels to work to embrace their femininity, which caused a big hoopla.
Who did this?
Hoopla?
Yeah, image consultants hired by the British law firm Freshfields, Bruckhouse, and Derringer in England.
Huh. Uh-huh. And why did they think that was a good idea?
I guess they thought it was a good idea to embrace their femininity. They thought that would be good for, I guess, their work image.
Hmm. Interesting. What do you guys think?
Well, I think dresses.
Joe, do you think you should start wearing skirts to work?
I do.
To express your femininity?
I do. I think that dress is important, meaning the way that you present yourself. I've had this rant in the past. So
that goes too far.
You know,
far,
I don't think that it's necessary to have to wear heels and a skirt as long as you look professional.
I can't even wear heels. I would be falling all over the place.
That would be a work embarrassment.
That would be a problem.
It'd really give us great joy, too. Just to.
But you think this opens your firm up to a lot of lawsuits, I would think, too. Because isn't that kind of discriminatory?
I think you can have any kind of dress code you want.
You can have a dress code, I think.
Rich is shaking his head. Yeah. He agrees with this one.
Heels and skirts?
Well, I mean, you have restaurants and you have the Playboy clubs and stuff like that. Well, they can have any kind of standards
Hooters.
That they want as long as they enforce it.
Yeah, that's
you
true.
Can have any standard, but that goes too far.
Yeah, I think it does.
You know, but it's not legal.
And
it's
I don't think it makes you come across as any more professional. In fact, some people say that it doesn't.
No, well, I mean,
especially if you can't wear the heels.
All the suits
down.
I have are pantsuits, right. And they're very professional.
Right.
All right.
Sure about
well,
that? What? You sure about that?
I am.
Says her.
Oh, okay.
I'm extremely professional. All right, it's time for Joe's rant, where we let our friend Joe Haley blow off some steam with whatever is bothering him. What's on your mind today, Joe?
Now let me tell you something. I'm sure that everyone has, you know, heard this story about the girls' basketball team. That beat another girls' basketball team.
Oh, by 100 to nothing.
That coach was fired, and I absolutely
deservedly so
say that he should be fired. He should never be allowed to coach again.
Why don't
you
explain what happened for people who don't know?
For people who don't know, there was two high school basketball teams playing each other, and one was a smaller school, only had 20 girls in the whole school, and had 8 girls on the basketball team. And at halftime, they were losing to a bigger academy school, 69-0. This team came out the second half. They still had their starters in. They were still full court pressing. And their defense was to allow these girls to come in uncontested, it looked like, for a layup. And as they get close, they just swat the ball away, steal it, and go down and run, you know, full court. It shows unsportsmanlike behavior.
Conduct,
then the assistant coach and parents of the winning team, they were hooping and hollering louder and louder.
Well, they were trying to get to 100.
To 100. Absolutely classless. Not a point for it. This guy should never be allowed to coach sports again. I am not a PC-type person, but that is outrageous. Absolutely outrageous. Think of what you're doing to those other kids. Think you're doing – I mean, people start to get violent over this stuff. They start to get angry, and it can be easily stopped. Oh, I would. If I was a parent of the other team, it's like enough's enough. I had words with the guy after a basketball game when his team was up 40 points. They're still pressing. He still has all the starters out there. They're shooting three-pointers. It was like it was uncalled for. You already proved you can win.
Can you wait until Jason starts playing sports, Andy?
He already is.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, Joe, I actually agree with your rant today.
Thank you.
I was cool. Surprised too. Well, it's after the holidays, so what is everybody going to do with all the gift cards? Did anybody here get gift cards for the holidays?
Yep.
No. Yes.
None?
No.
All right. Yes. What'd you get?
I got iTunes gift cards.
Uh huh. Have you used them?
Not yet. No.
Well, Kathy has a solution for you then, Andy.
Bring it on, Kathy.
I do. You could go to giftcardrescue.com and trade in the gift cards that you don't want for another gift card or cash.
That's a pretty cool idea.
Is it cash for the full amount of the gift card?
No, actually, it's like 60 to 80% of your gift card. That's the catch.
So I guess if you're never going to use your gift card,
that's all right.
Right, I use my gift cards within 48 hours. If you give me a gift card, I've spent
within 48 hours, you use any gift card.
Absolutely.
Come on.
Yeah.
Well, apparently, a lot of people don't. They put them in the drawer and forget that they're there. You know,
I have gift cards in my drawer that have expired years ago.
Right.
Gift card rescue.
Or else they buy something they don't particularly like. I've done that with a Macy's gift card because I couldn't find anything.
What did you buy?
You couldn't find anything in Macy's?
No, I really couldn't. It was all
You know what? It's not a very big store. They don't have a lot of inventory.
It's not.
Finally, if you're looking to sell your house, Joe Haley has a creative tactic he's going to tell us. Joe, it is a bad economy. What can you do to sell your house?
Well, what is very popular, and we did this a couple years ago, we had a house on the market. It was on the market for 10 months, and what we did is what someone told us to do. You buy a little figurine, a statue of St. Joseph that would be the father of the big JC.
Made in China?
I don't know where it was made.
anyway,
you're supposed to take that. You're supposed to bury it upside down so his feet are pointing to the heaven. He should be facing the house. And you plant it under the for sale sign, and supposedly that will help you sell that house. 10 months was very spotty with people seeing our house. The next 2 months, we had a lot of more visitors, and we actually sold the house. But this is not endorsed by the Catholic Church, and non-Catholics are doing this as well. And they sell kits
now. You're in.
You can get a kit with a statue, tells you how to bury it, and it gives you a novena that you're supposed to say for 9 days to help your chance of selling the house. You can do whatever you want with it.
The St. Joseph statue?
So maybe that's why the real estate market might not be selling
so much.
Does it
work for an apartment?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Rich needs that.
Absolutely for apartments.
But where do you bury it?
If you have a plant, a potted plant in a window, if you have a flower box outside, you can plant
it
there.
And report back to me.
Rich has an apartment in New York City. Yeah. Everyone, you want to do this?
I am.
All right. But feet up. Remember that.
Feet up, pointed to heaven. He has to be facing the building. But a lot of people really say that this works. And the other thing, if you're getting married.
Good luck, Rich.
If your sons or daughters are getting married, what are you supposed to do a week prior to that?
Put
Mary in the window, have her facing outside.
It's supposed to
rain on your wedding day.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Well, we're out of time today. Thanks for today's sponsor, I Promote You. And thanks for all of our listeners. Check out next week at our regular time, plus two bonus editions at 9 a.m. on both Thursday and Friday when we report live from ASI Dallas. Let's all hear everybody's yee-haw.
Yeehaw!
Have a great day.